Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wished for something with all your heart, but didn't have the words or the vision to call it into existence? Don't feel like a lone ranger. There are countless souls wandering around aimlessly, looking for their missing pieces in life that will complete their big picture of living an abundant, radiant, and thriving life. Today, each and every person suffers from I.O., information overload. We are bombarded with never-ending words. However, I.O. leaves us asking, now what? Where do I go from here? Where do you go to consciously find your way to receive the answers you desire, to improve your life, health status, your proper lifestyle, your family's health and welfare, is to the now what, where do I go from here? The Star Waters and Sandy Rogers Show, airing each Thursday from 2 to 3:30 p.m., is where you'll find your answers. Star and Sandy know how confusing it is having this expert or that health professional barking at you with their opinions of what they know you should be eating, which pill for every ill is just right for you, or what you should be thinking about the availability of your time when it comes to providing healthy food for you and your loved ones. When you are constantly convinced that you lack the time to prepare your own food made with ingredients you purposely add and know it is safe and nutritious, you are now being programmed to eat fast, eat processed, because you're too busy. Don't believe the hype. Together, these wellness advocates will provide cutting-edge information, straight, no chasers, to educate you and give you the words and vision to ask the question, now what? Where do I go from here?
Everybody, greetings and welcome to Now What? Where do I go from here? You've got two moderators with a lot of experience. You've got Star Waters, who's also known as the Wellness Wizard, and me, Sandy Rogers, a.k.a. the Gangster, the Wellness Gangster. And so together, Star and I have overcome, reverse turned different diseases that we were told that we would always have for the rest of our lives into bygone situations in our life. And so we come with a message of being able to do that. And so we're so thankful that you're with us today on Now What? Where do I go from here? So there's a couple of things that we do to get in the mode for the show. And the first thing that we do, as we do on a daily, hourly, moment-by-moment case, is we give thanks to our ancestors. We thank our ancestors for the many gifts and blessings that they so generously give to us. We know that we stand on the shoulders of our ancestors for strength, courage, knowledge, fortitude, resilience, and the list goes on and on. And that breath that I just took was for our latest two ancestors, John Lewis and C.T. Vivian. I tell you, they just came in right now, and so we welcome them into our presence, into our show. Because now that we know better, we can do better. as we follow the golden wisdom to health and wellness from our ancestors. So we give thanks to our ancestors always, always, always. Ashe. Ooh.
Ashe.
All right. So we thank you for joining with us today. And audience, you know you're welcome and invited to join in the discussion. Our intention is to hear all comments and that every voice that wants to be heard is heard. Our call-in number here is 516-531-9819. And if you would just press 1 on your device, it will let us know that you want to speak live on air with us. To ensure, because a lot of our listeners go back and want to listen to the shows repeatedly, is that once your line is open, it normally stays open, that you just mute your line, mute your phone if you're not speaking so that there's no noise interruption or interference with the quality. So we appreciate that, and you can listen to any of the rebroadcasts at www.blogtalkradio.com/Sandy Rogers, SandyRogers. Sister Star.
Yes, Sandy Rogers.
What's up, girl?
I got some powerful divine words of inspiration to share with you, our guests, and our listeners. And I think it will strike a chord in all of us. You ready?
All righty. Yes. Anxious.
I'm about to bring it. Okay.
All righty.
The wisdom of insecurity. Life is dramatic and ever-changing. There are no guarantees. The security that so many search for does not exist. The best that we can hope for is temporary stability. In searching for that elusive security, it is easy to fall into a rut and feel trapped by circumstances. But circumstances can control us only when we give them the power to do so. Every day we read stories of individuals who have decided to break out of the mold and do something outrageous. Accepting the wisdom of insecurity is liberating. Knowing that nothing is certain reminds us to keep life fluid and live one day at a time. When my best friend and I traveled around the country, not knowing where we would be from week to week, life became an ongoing adventure. Although we had nothing, we possessed everything. And are there any places in your life where you feel trapped or stuck? Remember that nothing can trap you unless you let it. It is never too late for a change. And some affirmations to back this up are, my true security rests in my connection to my higher power. I live a day at a time and let the future take care of itself. I am open to change at any moment. My life is full of possibilities. I have faith in myself and in God to cope with any situation that arises. And lastly, I believe in me.
Mm.
Ashe. And so Ashe. It is.
Ashe. Yes. Whew, I believe in me. Yes, ma'am. That was awesome, Star.
Thank you. I'm always inspired by our guests. Spirit just opens up the book and gives me the passage that just introduces their story and them, and it's just simply amazing. And so I believe in the power of the higher power to give me and our audience just what we need to get us going. Ashe.
Ashe. Whew, okay. Thank you, guys. Thanks, everybody. I say you guys because I'm from the West Coast, from L.A., and that's just how we roll there with our lingo. But so I'm talking to everybody
yep.
when I say you guys. Our show today
yep.
is entitled Getting Over the I Can't. And our, oh, my God, incredible guest is Janita Green. Now, Janita reminded me when – I saw something she had posted on Facebook, and I reached out to her, but she reminded me so graciously that I actually had met her like 5 or 6 years ago when she brought her mom. I think her mom was in her early 90s, 90, 91, to Living Foods Institute for health prevention, or, you know, to learn some various methods that they could employ to keep mom vital and young and healthy. And so it's just interesting. And then we met again, I think it was last year or a year before, when her sorority, when me and the group that I work with, Reiki Vibrations, we did the energy work for an event that they were hosting. So that's my background with Janita. And you know what? I'm just so thankful that she is on my path and a part of my circle. So let me tell you a little bit about her. So Janita is the Director of Financial Systems, Processes, and Internal Audit at Kaiser Permanente right here in Atlanta. She's also a business owner, and she started Greener Solutions Accounting and Tax Services, LLC, as a family-owned business with her father, which I just think is incredible. That's so beautiful. And so she's been at that for 20 years now, and she's the managing member of the company. She has just a list of experiences in accounting, tax planning, preparation, financial planning. She's been with Mitchell & Titus, PricewaterhouseCoopers, just goes on and on. But it's not just in the financial arena. She also has industry experience in healthcare, real estate, education, and not-for-profit entities. She got her bachelor's degree in accounting with a minor in sociology from Philadelphia University. She's also a licensed CPA here in Georgia. She's with the East Point College Park chapter of Delta Sigma Theta Incorporated. Look, the girl is tough, right? She's a free spirit who is passionate about wellness, well-being, mentoring young and not so young, and making a positive difference in the lives of others. She calls herself a gym rat. She loves hiking. She loves traveling. And she's looking to pursue her certification as a personal trainer and yoga instructor. So, world, I introduce to you my friend, Miss Janita Green. Welcome to our show.
Thank you. Hey, everybody.
Yay.
Hey, Stars. Hey, Andy. Thank you for having me.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So you say getting over the I can't. And so the show description audience says that we have all heard about the power of the tongue, but do we truly over or understand it, right? How can the words that you speak affect the outcomes of your daily life? I know a lot of you are saying, oh, man, that don't even sound right. You know, I have no control over this. Well, we want you to listen and allow Janita to explain it to you, because she has used her words victoriously over the conditions of her life. And so she, I just want to say, as a bodybuilder, or being in a bodybuilding competition, she's placed first, second, and 5th, which that's outstanding accomplishments all by themselves. But this is over the top of being diagnosed with and being victorious over two diagnoses of the C word as far as her breasts are concerned. So now I'm going to open the floor to you, Ms. Green, and let you just tell the world what your message is for us today.
What's my message? I would say one is live life. Like, really live life. Don't just go through the motions of life. Mm. And, you know, with what we're dealing with today with this COVID situation, to stay the course, you know, no matter what it is you're dealing with or experiencing or going through, you know, allow yourself to feel it, you know, be authentic about it. Definitely talk to others about it, you know, those who you can share authentically with, and allow yourself to just continue to evolve. You know, I am ongoingly working on myself. I'm a work in progress and will be until I check out of here. And I understand that now. And so the doing the work on myself, even in times when it might be uncomfortable or painful, is necessary to continue to grow and evolve. And, you know, I can only love and be, I can only love others, really, and be the best for them if I'm being that for myself. And that's something that I understand, and I'm, and it's becoming embedded in me. It's not just a theoretical term, or it's not just words anymore. Like, it's really becoming a part of who I am. And, you know, that's that I would say to those listening and those out in the world, you know, to take yourself on, like, have the courage to do so, because you'll love yourself all the more for it.
I'm looking
Go ahead, Star.
I'm looking over your bio, Janita, and the first thing that comes to mind, especially when you just spoke the word courage, is that deep down inside all of us, we are so fearful and sometimes even frozen to hear that C word, cancer. And yet you have heard it twice, and it did not put you in a rut. It did not take you out. And through all of your visualization and speaking what you want, you have overcome cancer, breast cancer, twice. What must that have felt like for you?
You mean receiving that, I'm doing air quotes, diagnosis?
Yes, receiving the diagnosis, yes.
So the first time it happened, I was 41, and I was going in for my baseline mammogram, and I was self-employed at the time. And I was actually about to train again for another competition because I had, you know, I did my first competition as a bodybuilder in 2006, and so I was heading down this path of, you know, I saw myself being in nutrition and sports, and, you know, I saw this path for myself. And I think back at the time, I was also trying to figure out how to do it as a vegetarian. And vegetarianism, especially here in Atlanta, was not so popular back then. So I actually, in hindsight, see that I'm, you know, I had a vision for something, you know, way back in 2004, 2005, 2006 when I was having that conversation. But anyway, so when, you know, people would call me for advice on, you know, eating and working out and blah, blah, blah. And so to get that diagnosis, you know, going in for my baseline, you know, you're always told when you're 40, go in for your baseline mammogram. And because I didn't have insurance as a self-employed person at 40, I did it at 41. And so when they told me, the doctor that, you know, gave me the results, was very, like, matter-of-fact about it. And, you know, not friendly, no bedside manners. And I was offended. You know, I was offended by how she was talking to me. Like I was, you know, like second class. And so I thought she was lying. I thought, oh, they're just trying to make money on me. You know, I'm not going to be their guinea pig in their experiment. I had all this going on in my head. Like, how can this be? How can they be talking to me? This can't be right. This can't be true. There's no way. They're lying. You know, I had a hard time receiving it at first. Like, there's no way. How am I going to manage this? How am I, what? And so I think I got, like, about five opinions. I went to a holistic practitioner because my fundamental beliefs are holistic. So I went to a holistic practitioner to get a second opinion. I went to another African-American breast cancer surgeon who, you know, was known in Georgia. I think she was like one of the first African-American breast cancer surgeons in Georgia. So I went to her for an opinion. She, like, instilled fear in me. The holistic doctor that I went to, her stuff was not very organized, so it was too scattered. And so I, you know, kept shopping it around because I'm like, this can't be true, you know. So I just had a hard time initially accepting it as true. And then I would say, and then I also had people in my ear because I have friends, you know, dear friends that are holistic practitioners and so forth, you know, trying to get me to pursue it holistically and naturally. And, you know, I didn't personally know anyone who was successful at that. And I also had a girlfriend who, you know, was trying to do that, and she wound up in a coma behind trying to do that for years, and cancer took over her body. You know, so I just had a lot of things to take into consideration how I was going to, you know, approach this. And, yeah, so that's kind of how that all started for me. Just I'm a person that I process things, and, you know, I'm a fighter. You know, when it comes to fight or flight, I'm going to fight. I'm a fight your behind, right? I'm a warrior, right? So, and that's in my bloodline. You know, my great-great-grandfather was a Buffalo Soldier, right? So I understand that it's in my blood, and I, you know, Indian on my mom's side of the family and West Indian. So I understand, overstand what I got in my blood to have me, you know, my spirit be a fighter, the fighter that I am.
Wow. Ooh-wee. That's great. I mean, especially, you know, with your girlfriend who was trying to do the holistic thing and then went into a coma. That must have been a real red light frightening kind of thing, like, hold up, wait a minute. Mm-mm-mm-mm.
And it was right around when I found out, right? Like, it was, you know, I was, because I wound up initially going to Cancer Treatment Centers of America because they have, that's where I got treated, because they have, you know, the Western and the Eastern medicine. So, you know, they had holistic doctors or naturopathic doctors that recommended supplements for me to take to help offset that. And, you know, they had yoga and, you know, counseling. And, you know, it was an integrated service. Everything was, like, right there. So I didn't have to go to multiple places to piece together my surgeries and, you know, all the tests and doctor's visits and everything that I had to do. So that also made a big difference for me as well.
Was that an in-house, you know, stay, or did you go back and forth, and was it here near or near Georgia?
I actually, you know, just how spirit works, right? I actually wound up in Philadelphia, which is where I'm from, and that's where all my family is. And, you know, I had a family member that worked at the facility in Philadelphia, and one of my cousins was actually the one that told me to call them. And I was like, I'm not going to be able to go there. Like, they're in Philadelphia. I'm in Georgia. How's that going to work? And it got worked it out. And so I spent about a month and a half up in Philadelphia doing my treatments and everything, and, you know, was able to stay with my family. And then, you know, when I was done with everything, I would just go back up there to my, you know, for my follow-up visits.
Okay.
And what I was going to say about my girlfriend is that, you know, I was trying to get her to go there because she was up in Philly. And so I was trying to get her to go there as well to be seen. And, you know, at that time she was like, girl, it's too late for me. This is all over my body. And then shortly thereafter she went into a coma.
Oh, wow. Did she succumb to the cancer?
I'm sorry?
Did she die from the cancer eventually?
You know, I don't know. I know for years she was in a coma. Every time I would talk to her sister or a mutual friend to get updates, the last was like 2 years ago, she was still in a coma.
Wow.
And I just haven't been able to bring myself to call her sister and ask.
Yeah.
Yes. I understand.
So did that have an impact on your approach as far as the words that you spoke to yourself, healing versus non-healing words? Did that have an impact on how you viewed the possibility of recovery?
Yes. Yes, it did. That and also conversations that I had with people in my life, the people that I had around me, you know, that all mattered, that I had positive energy around me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've read positive things. There's this one book that one of my girlfriends gave me called God's Creative Power by Charles Capps. And it's a three-part book, and it's a gift collection. One of the books is called God's Creative Power for Healing. And, you know, I would read that every day, throughout the day. And the words in there are just so powerful, and it speaks to, you know, how you have power over your body, like, you know, how spirit has power over your body, and just speak it and speak the truth over your body, speak healing over your body. And it, you know, the scriptures that were reflected there, you know, were combined scriptures that spoke to things like, you know, tumors, growths, high blood pressure, diabetes. It covered those topics where you could read the scriptures associated with those things, to just read it over and over and over and over again every day to speak healing over your body. So that was one of the things that I did every day. And I also had a CD by Creflo Dollar on, you know, healing scriptures, of him, like, reading, reciting, you know, healing scriptures from the Bible. And I would listen to that, and I would actually go to sleep to it, you know, as like a meditative type of thing. And I also listen to, there are some healing meditations that I also listen to off of YouTube as well. So I just try to keep it positive and, you know, keep a positive attitude and, you know, trust it that it would pass and that I would, you know, move through it well. And my doctors also, like, would reinforce that for me too.
Oh, that's wonderful. You know, that positiveness coming from your medical professionals, that's incredible right there.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty amazing. Like, the whole experience just, you know, had me slow down and check myself, you know. The other thing that I did, it really kind of pushed me over the edge around my food, where I just ate raw food. I actually had someone preparing raw food for me, juicing for me. I learned how to juice. I kind of went over the edge around the holistic lifestyle and world. You know, I stopped fluoride toothpaste. I, you know, only drink alkaline water. I just made a lot of changes to my lifestyle as a result of that. And I also came to understand, you know, how traumas in life, you know, unaddressed, also play a role in diseases that show up in our bodies.
So this just came to mind for me. What do you think is the correlation to you wanting to understand the connection between being a vegetarian, vegetarianism, and bodybuilding, and then receiving that diagnosis, which kind of really pushed you into really, really pursuing that with a seriousness? How do you think your words and your thoughts from years earlier kind of impacted that, or do you think that there's a reference to it at all?
How my previous life prior to my diagnosis, how the words that I spoke to myself impacted me?
Right, right, because you said, yeah, go ahead.
So... You know, so we're influenced by, you know, our families, our parents, you know, those around us, society, teachers, life experiences, right? And so, you know, I've had my share of life traumas, you know, growing up as a child, and, you know, my mom was very hard on me. I'm like the youngest of five, the only girl. And so, you know, my mom was very overprotective, and, you know, she had her own dysfunction that she dealt with that went unaddressed. Same with my father. And so, you know, just things that I saw growing up and experienced growing up, that I ingested that stuff. Right. And so, you know, I had my own, you know, my parents had, we all have limiting beliefs. I call it limiting beliefs. Right. And so, you know, I inherited limiting beliefs that they had that were placed on me that I didn't even know it as that as a child. It was just a part of the world that I lived in. You know what I'm saying? So, it was just like today's Thursday. That was my world. And so, you know, I started probably around 19, 20 years old, changing my conversation about myself. You know, there were people that saw my greatness that I couldn't even see. You know, I've always had nicknames from childhood: star, superstar, Hollywood, rock star, shining star. and I never understood why I had those nicknames. I understand it now, but I didn't understand it then, right? And so, you know, I call them angels, you know, that were in my life that helped to guide me. You know, I can look back to my childhood and see how God's hand has been on me the whole time, following me and pushing me and directing me, you know, out of situations and circumstances that I could easily not be here today.
Mm.
And, you know, so it I've had to do a lot of work on reprogramming my mind and my thoughts and my words. I'm still at work on that. How old am I, 52? I'm still at work, you know, at changing those conversations and reprogramming my thoughts and my conversations. But I'm, like, conscious of it now, right? And I wasn't as conscious of it then. So I would say, you know, each traumatic event that happened to me, it just would kind of shift me further into changing my thinking and my conversation about myself to myself.
Mm-hmm. Did you find yourself very different from many of your peers and friends? Or
yes.
Were you all kind of the same? Did you kind of stand out?
I've always felt like I'm a little eyeball. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's an easy yes. I could scream, yes, yes. There you go.
Over here, that would be me.
Yes, I've always felt like I was different on the outside looking in. But God
but
makes
now
it
I'm sure you see that as a blessing.
I do, and I'm grateful for it.
Mm-hmm.
I have my own path to walk. Just like we all do.
Mm-hmm.
There's no need to try to blend in.
So you got your... Go ahead, Star.
I was going to say, that's a lesson that we all should really internalize. You know, that there's no need to try to fit in. No one wants to be the oddball because oddballs are made fun of, and whereas the rest of the people are conformists, and you know, everybody wants other people to be conformists because it means that they don't have to do anything different. If they do something different, they feel like they're, you know, imperfect. And so I love you saying that, because I've always been an oddball too, and gosh, I just can't get away from it. So I just started embracing it. You know, I'm a little different. I might even give people a little heads up. You know, I'm a little different, but, you know, we'll get through this. So
yeah, you know, like, you know, Jesus was different, right? Jesus was a rebel. Like, I'm a rebel spirit. Jesus was a rebel spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Marley was a rebel spirit, right? Like, if you name the rebel spirits, right? So it's like I identify with that. And
all right.
My opinion.
So we talked about the power of the tongue and getting over the I can't. Tell us how important that is, not in just overcoming. Well, I guess it would be overcoming situations and talking more power into your actions. So tell us, how does that work?
Well, it has for I would say, to answer that question, it's easy to say I can't and quit and give up, right? And so not honoring that conversation of I can't has me push myself through so that I don't stop. Even if I, like, maybe take a break, I keep going.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't quit behind that. And I have numerous examples in my life that I've lived where I can look back and see that conversation being a fuel for me. Or I would even dare to say, you know, my people. have been pushing me when I didn't want to push myself. So, you know, it's like one of my mentors named it as a fire in my belly.
Okay.
You know, there's like a force greater than me that's running things. Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah.
So I remember, God, this was you talking about the raw eating popularity here in Atlanta. I remember, back in the, I guess early 80s, late 70s, maybe something, maybe even older than that. This was before I knew anything about New Thought and science of mind and all of that. And this young lady told me that if she ever got a cancer diagnosis, that she knows she would just die. And I was like, you know what, you probably would. And I remember having that conversation and how startled she looked at me when I said that, but that's what resonated in, you know, in my spirit to tell her. And I've not been in contact with her in a number of years, but we were really close friends. And she was serious when she made that statement. And so I get to Atlanta, and another very, very dear friend of mine requested that I transport her back and forth to some doctor's appointments that she had lined up. And she never told me, you know, what the appointments were concerning or anything. I just, you know, provided her transportation back and forth. And when it got closer to the time where she had to prep for surgery was when she finally told me what she was dealing with health-wise, and it was a cancer on the side of her leg. But her whole approach was not to tell anybody. For what you just said, Janita, is that she did not want anybody's negative energy involved in her healing. And she didn't tell not one person in her family until she had no other choice. She had to tell them because she would be going into the hospital to have the surgery. But she did everything, all the pretests, all of everything that was associated with this, and she handled it all by herself, her and her God. And she came out of it wonderfully well. That's been 12 years ago, I believe, now. And she's been cancer-free ever since. When she went for the chemo, after a couple of visits, it made her sick. And she was like, okay, well, I can't do that anymore. She was just very strong. She was very strong in her belief in herself and her own healing power. And so I think that is just crucial to a person's healing process, is the words and the energy that they allow to encircle whatever a medical professional may title over your body.
Absolutely agree 100% to that. It's crucial. Because our words have so much power.
Mm-hmm.
And they live in us.
So do you...
That makes a difference in the world, absolutely. I agree.
Yeah. So do you... Tell me what your feelings are. Like, we kind of know... We kind of know who's going to agree with us, or at least the position that they're going to take, right? So... If you want to have a pity party, you know who to call. If you want to have somebody on your side because you're getting ready to overtake this, whatever it is, then you know what warriors to call that's got your back, right? So how important was it for you to analyze, or did you just kind of sit in stillness for a while once you got the diagnosis, before did you just, you know, like move out, and just want to kind of get a feel for how you did that?
I did take time to be still. I actually went by some water. And, you know, just spent time by the water. Water is, like, very grounding for me. And then, you know, I remember the people that I told. I only shared with a handful of people, like, what was going on and, you know, like, my navigating through. And it definitely wasn't any naysayers. And it definitely was people who get me and were in support of whatever I chose to do. And, you know, they supported me in whatever I needed, even down to coming to pack my suitcase for me for the time period that I was gone. Like, I had a girlfriend that came, and she was my caregiver, and she packed my suitcase for me. What clothes I needed, things I needed to take into consideration, you know, and I was, like, taken by that because I'm, you know, Miss Independent. So that was just very, it was humbling for me. It was humbling to, you know, I had to allow people in. You know, I'm like a private person. And even doing this interview, it's like a breakthrough for me. But, yeah, I'm like a, you know, typically have been in the past. My history is that I'm a private person. And so, you know, who I shared and how I shared, like, I was very intentional about that. So I didn't share with everyone freely.
Yeah.
Did you feel any sense of relief once you did share with those that you obviously selected and it took time to say, okay, I will share with this person? Was there a feeling of relief for you?
Was there relief when I shared with them? Just more a feeling of me opening myself up to be vulnerable. So it was more of a feeling of internal expansion, you know, where I'm allowing people in. So it was a growth opportunity for me.
Okay, good, good.
You know, and it was humbling for me too. You know, to see and realize, you know, like the people that really do care, you know, when you're faced with trials and tribulation.
Because I can only imagine that it feels very lonely to, you know, to know something about yourself that, you know, by using the power of the tongue and by using affirmations and by using visualizations, we can create the outcome that we desire to see happen. And, you know, to do that, one must definitely put their all into it. I mean, you are 100% in there, you know, and you have to leave other people out because you got to stay focused. And just as you talked about earlier, as to all the things that you did, maybe you had like a series of things that you did on a daily basis or whatever. I'm sure any of us can bring that to our understanding by the things that we did when COVID-19 first happened. I mean, my place smelled like a hospital. I had so much eucalyptus going on, and, you know, I was taking stuff on, you know, hourly or bi-hourly. You know, I mean, hey, I was in this, and I was going to overcome it. And sometimes that can be very taxing and very tiring. So,
yeah. Agreed. There was something I was going to say. It'll come back to me. But, yeah, I mean, all of what you said, like, you know, it's a mindset shift. I know what it was I was going to say. The thing that was also tripping me out during all this, you know, were friends that I knew that were leaving here because of cancer. Right? So I had the thing going on, God, why are you sparing me?
Wow.
Why am I still here? I had that going on. Why am I still here and not them?
And I think the short answer to that is because you haven't completed what you were brought here to do.
Most definitely. And that's becoming clearer and clearer for me each year. It's actually real clear for me this year.
And you also have that winning spirit, you know, and we need that so desperately within humanity right now, because people are, you know, just really wrapped up and caught up in the negative energy of this pandemic, you know, and there's so few that have the courage to think like you do, you know, like, I can win this, I can beat this, I'm an overcomer. And so I believe that that's part of your mission as well. You know, you're a living example of what can happen, just as the friend that I spoke about earlier, you know, that overcame cancer, and she goes back, you know, for her checks, and she is doing great. I mean, just absolutely. And so we need the living examples of the overcomers. And so I'm thankful for the life that you've led and the example that you're setting. Can you kind of walk us into your bodybuilding, how that came about, and did you have to have and what all did you employ going into that competition? You know, did you, as far as the breast cancer, did you have to have any surgeries or anything? And tell us about that journey.
So I have been lifting weights since I was about 14, 15 years old. Started lifting weights in high school. And I've always liked muscles. And I just think muscles are like cool and sexy and edgy. And I had a friend when I was in my 20s who taught me, because I was a tomboy, you know, I always wore sneaks. I had lots of sneakers. I didn't really have a whole lot of shoes. I still have a lot of sneakers, actually. Like, I have a thing for sneakers. Started collecting sneakers. But she taught me, like, about girly stuff, right? And so the guy that she was dating was a personal trainer. And so we would all work out together. And he said to me, he goes, no, you know, you have a build for, like, bodybuilding. Like, have you ever thought about bodybuilding? I was like, no. You know, like, I never thought about it. So he's like, you should consider it. And so that stuck with me. And so when I said, you know what, like, I think that's something I might want to do. So that was always kind of like a, you know, I was always in the working out, lifting weights, you know, trying to slim my legs. I always felt like my legs were always bigger than the guys when I was a kid. you know, always had big, I'm big boned at it, as they say, big boned at it, big boned. And I, you know, was always wanting to cut my legs down and slim them down and yada, yada. And so I decided, you know, in my early 30s to pursue bodybuilding. I wanted to do a competition. And so, you know, I got a trainer, and he was a boxing trainer, but nonetheless, he was a trainer, and, you know, I told him what I wanted to do, and so we, like, set out to, you know, pursue that. And so, you know, I think I got third place in that show. It was a novice, it was a true bodybuilder, so it wasn't figure, it was a bodybuilder competition here in Georgia. And then, you know, once I dealt with my illnesses and surgeries and stuff from the breast cancer, you know, I always said to myself, when I get through this, I want to go back and finish that. Mm-hmm. I still want to do that. And I told my doctors that, you know, that was always the conversation with my doctors. You know what? Like, I still want to bodybuild. Like, will I be able to, you know, should I be concerned about these implants bursting? You know, like, it was just always like the fear of how can I, you know, will I be able to regain, you know, the strength in my upper body from, you know, the surgeries? And when the doctor cleared me to, you know, start lifting again, I said, okay, let me, like, give it a shot. And so I slowly started, you know, lifting again. I had a girlfriend that was a trainer, and so, you know, she was training me, and I would always get scared that, you know, my implants would burst, or, you know, that, oh, I can't lift this weight. My arms are too weak, you know, because of scar tissue and stuff. I'm not going to be able to do it. So it was like a constant, yes, you can. No, stop saying you can't. Yes, you can. You can do this. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can. You can. You will. And I just kept pushing and kept pushing. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I linked up with another trainer and told him what I was up to. And it was always, you know, I always had the story about, you know, the breast cancer and what happened and, you know, will I be able to? It was always like, will I be able to? And, again, they were speaking it to me like, yes, you can. And so I was feeding off of their energy because it wasn't fully in for me, like, yes, I can.
Okay.
And then last year I was at an event with a mutual friend who does bikini competition, and she had actually, you know, won some competitions. And she was telling me about her trainer. And I was like, you know what? I said, give me his information. I want to reach out to him. And that's what I did. And so at that time, I had two other trainers that I was training with. And so I now had three trainers. So I had three people in my ear. And I had to narrow that down to just him. And, you know, he got me on, you know, a meal plan. He got me on a workout plan. And, you know, I resisted and questioned, and it's like, how is this guy going to get me there? How am I going to get there? Am I really going to get there? I mean, there was resistance in my space the whole way down the road until maybe like 4 weeks out from my show is when the conversation really started shifting for me. Like, yeah, I can do this. And I have a vision. I had a vision board. I had it on my vision board. And it's like the conversation started shifting where I started to believe it for myself that, yes, I could do it. I'm a stubborn, resistant person. Not I am a stubborn. I can be. Some of my ways are stubborn and resistant. I'm a Taurus, so true Taurus, right? So,
oh, yeah.
I can be, you know, resistant, and I can be stubborn and, you know, see it one way, you know, but I've learned to be open and flexible and malleable. And one of the things my coach always says is trust the process.
Mm.
And be consistent. And, you know, it was him not giving up on me, which had me not give up on myself to then cross that line and win that show last year.
Awesome. So I have a two-part question for you.
Okay.
How important was, and I think you answered that, but I think there's still more to the story. How important is having a trainer that believes in you, and how important is it to have goals larger than life? How does that relate? How do you think that relates to overcoming any type of adversity?
So ask your second question again.
So my second question was having goals larger than life. So you wanted to get back into the bodybuilding and compete in a competition.
Yep.
So was that inspirational for you or motivational for you as you continued, you know, with your routine of needing to practice and to train to get to that? How important was it for you?
Mm-hmm. It was very important. To answer your first question about, you know, my trainer believing in me, I think it's even more important that, you know, I believe in myself. You know, one of the things that I think is awesome about my trainer is the way that he trains really has the people that he trains empowered. At least speaking for myself, I have, and I'm still learning to trust the process, trust that I can do it, be consistent, you know, like do what I need to do even when he's not around, right? And so even I can give you an example. A couple of months ago when you know, they started opening things back up with around COVID, and
mm-hmm.
so I started going back and training with him again. And it was hard. And I wanted to quit right in the middle of my workout.
Wow.
And I actually asked him if I could. I was like, can I quit? And he's like, get back over there. Keep lifting. Like it wasn't an option. And I, you know, that day I was like, you know what? I don't think I want to do this anymore. This is too hard. Why am I doing it? What's the point? You know, I had that going on. And it was just a conversation that lasted for like a couple days. I talked to some friends and they were like, what are you talking about? Are you crazy? No, you're not quitting. No, just let that conversation go. And, you know, I actually just yesterday paid for, you know, a package to get my personal training certification. And I'm, like, prepping for another show to get my pro card. You know, so it's like I got over that conversation pity party because it was a pity party. I had a pity party for a couple hours.
Yeah.
But I moved through it, right? So the lesson for me there was to not get stuck in it and to express it and push through it and move on.
There you go.
Right? I didn't have to honor that conversation. And then as far as goals, yeah, I'm a goal-oriented person anyway. So, you know, setting targets for me has me want to hit a bullseye every time, you know. So, you know, that has me stay focused and structured, you know, by setting goals versus just being willy-nilly.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for your honesty.
I'm very impressed with you because at one point, me and a friend decided that about maybe 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Sandy's laughing.
Yeah, thanks, Bree.
Yeah. So we decided we were going to go and we were going to work out, and we did. I was so proud of us.
Oh, yeah.
We held each other accountable. We showed up at that L.A. Fitness on time. We didn't know what the heck we were doing, but we did that for the whole time that we were there. We had videos that sometimes it wasn't enough Wi-Fi for us to show the videos, but we tried. So as the co-person of that team that I was on, Team Sandy and Team Star, I appreciate your story about wanting to quit. I didn't think I wanted to quit. I think I just wanted to just know what the heck I was doing, you know.
Gotcha.
Because I think that's the biggest hurdle. It's very intimidating to go into that gym and seeing all these jocks and jockettes and, you know, and they seem like they just know what they're doing.
Yep.
And here two grandmas come in. I mean, they had people almost kind of like cheering every day, new day that we showed up. It's like,
exactly.
Hey,
that's cool. And see, and that conversation right there that you just said, because I had that going on when I first started back. It was totally me. You know, like intimidated by the weight. And mind you, I've been lifting since 15, and here I am,
wow,
like intimidated by the weights. Can I do it? I don't want to look stupid. It's just stupid talk.
Yeah.
Just stupid talk, right? Like,
yeah,
stupid talk. That's not making,
yeah,
any difference.
Yeah,
and
that,
it's not
that
furthering
self-talk,
anything.
That negative self-talk will, you know, keep
will
you
tear,
from
it will
the
take you out.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. And so now,
and I think another good point in this story is the necessity to keep up the practice, because what happened with Star and I, in case you're wondering, audience, is that somebody's car broke down and it was the transportation, and then after that there was family illness for somebody and they had to go out of town. And so the routine got broken. And we did not get back. And so perhaps, Janetta, we ran into the same thing that you're talking about, you know, like, oh, man, it's just too hard. It wasn't hard. It just became there was a break in the system. And we've talked,
mm-hmm,
about getting back, and we just have not done it. So that's important, I think. One of the important lessons that we learned was that you've got to keep doing something. You know, you just can't stop because there's no car or, you know, like you're gone. And so like Star was saying, you know, we were good accountability partners with one another. And so even being out of town, we could have still been accountable to each other. And those are lessons that are learned at this point. But we did not employ,
yep,
them back then.
Yeah, hindsight
still
is always 20/20.
It's a thing.
Yeah, because I could have worked out, you know, with my son in Portland, and then we could have, you know, just communicated. But, you know, it just was like, it was defeating. It was very defeating on my part. So, yeah.
Gotcha. So what you going to do about it?
No, you ain't calling somebody on the carpet.
As of last week, I am now working out with my middle son. He is my personal trainer now, and we're working out 3 weeks. And I am feeling like a doggone jockette, let me tell you. Okay. So I may be old. That hasn't changed. But
that's,
I have
older.
Come to that gym. Yes, older.
Yep, older.
Thank you for correcting.
Yep. Exactly.
But I
older.
Step into that gym with the confidence that my trainer has my back. Okay. And
that's
he
cool.
is showing form. and taking time for me to get the form down before I add the weights on. And
yep.
I am just very, very pleased.
Very
He's doing
nice.
A good job. Yes.
It's so
Thank
important
you.
as we age, you know, to stay active, and to exercise, and the whole eat right piece, you know, just, you know, especially for women, you know, if you're inactive, you know, you run the risk of, you know, developing osteoporosis and, you know, shrinkage of the bones and breakage of the bones. And, you know, so that's another motivator for me to, you know, that I, one of the reasons why I'm still kind of driving with the whole workout and fitness thing is because of that. That was one of the things that, you know, the doctor kept emphasizing to me, you know, is to stay active and remain active, you know, to help to ward off, you know, any future disease in my body. So that's something that's really critical that we need to be mindful of as we age.
And that's what we're all here to do, is to age.
Yes,
definitely.
Grace.
And get better. And get better as we get older.
Mm, and get better, yep. Age is nothing but a number.
Awesome. Well, I know right now Sandy's bit, her life is so busy. But when she can edge out maybe like an hour, she'll fill that hour up, especially when she starts seeing me getting my little tiny age.
Y'all calling a girl out. I mean, both of you. Both of you stars.
Yes. I'll be working on my glutes so that I can have a little bubble butt when I walk, because I see how the men look at the women with the bubble butts, okay? I don't want a big bubble butt, just a little bubble butt.
Well, you know, you guys, I get my at least three days in that garden, and that's 2 or 3 hours, so it's the same thing as working out, what you guys are talking about
in
the gym.
Yeah,
it
totally is.
Absolutely.
Maybe
a
little bit more.
Sure.
Yeah.
And good
Absolutely.
Stretching.
But it's good, though, you know, because what we're each talking about is a variety in that. You know, like I know that Star wants to get into the jump roping because for some reason she missed that as a child. But, you know, as long, and I think you said it, Janita, as long as we're moving our body, you know, that's the key point. So whatever you're doing has less to do with it than the actual moving your body so that you don't age and, you know, subject your body to the different diseases or malfunctions that happen with a body that doesn't move.
Correct.
Yeah, that's right. That's
Something
right.
as simple as 35 minutes a day, and you don't necessarily even have to do it in a gym.
Right. And what so many of us don't know, we think we got to etch out a couple of hours and, you know, we got to, you know, just run our day sort of, kind of, you know, and just do it. But, gosh, if you did 10 minutes 3 times a day doing something, that's the same equivalent. You know,
mm-hmm.
right.
I would agree.
So what advice would you give a young woman your age if she was faced with the dilemmas that you had?
What advice would I give a young woman that were faced with the dilemmas I had?
Okay.
Journal. You know, like get clear in your mind and get clear in your heart. Definitely, you know, like don't react. So don't be reactionary to what is happening. You know, manage your emotions. You know, so that, you know, the choices that you need to make are clear and grounded and not emotional and haphazard.
Mm.
You know, seek wise counsel, you know, not just people who are going to say what you want to hear, but people who really have your best interest at heart and, you know, can get you and hear you and be authentic with you and allow you to be your authentic self. And, you know, be mindful of what you're feeding your body. And that's, you know, like spiritual food, actual physical food, and like mental food, you know. So like just raise your level of consciousness around what you're feeding yourself. You know, and, you know, think about what could be some of the causes and make changes that are going to, you know, be positive change for yourself and your life.
Did you do that for yourself? Did you figure out some of the causes that brought on the cancer for you? Because it sounded like you were living a very healthy life.
I did all those things I named.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what did you come down with was the cause? Or did your number just come up, like waiting in the bakery? You know, what did you attribute to having this disease come to your body?
So, you know, I could only make, you know, get some like guesses and like strong assumption to it all. You know, it wasn't some cancer isn't something that runs in my family. You know, my cancer was hormone driven. So when I think about, you know, prior to all of that, you know, I was eating like lots and lots and lots of chicken, lots and lots and lots of tilapia, you know, like lots of it, like racks of it, you know, to get my protein, you know, intake in for lifting. So I was eating, you know, and I was like just buying it from whatever store. You know, I've had, you know, lots of traumatic experiences in my life from childhood, you know, into adult life. And so I would say that those traumas, some of them had not been fully dealt with, manifested themselves in my body. So that's an opinion that I have, you know, and they say, you know, that traumatic events, unaddressed, unresolved, can show up in your body as dis-ease. Louise Hay speaks to that, right? So
yes.
I feel that, you know, that was a driver. I feel like the, you know, there are environmental factors that are drivers. You know, there are a lot of things that are different today that were not the case when, you know, my parents, your parents were, you know, growing up. So there are a lot of environmental factors that are, you know, playing into a lot of the disease that's going on, you know, today. And then I wasn't really drinking, like, a lot of soda or any of that. I had pretty much switched out of the soda world and was really more of a water drinker. But, you know, I would say the chicken and the tilapia, I think that played a role in it for me, and just life traumas and then the environment. Those are things that I think played a role in what happened in my life with my cancer.
Well, the chicken is really filled with a lot of hormones that goes against our bodies, especially women, because of the growth hormones that it has in it. And that tilapia, I know for me, I had no clue for a long time that it's not a natural fish, that it is something that's been created in a laboratory is the way I like to say it. So, you know, so that too then would be filled with a lot of hormones and ingredients that would not be natural for the human body. So.
Yep. Yeah, so it's like being mindful of what you're consuming.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like there's a big dupe game going on out here.
Yes, ma'am.
Hmm. You think so? And also having going through training, you know, you mentioned that your trainer had your diet and everything. I've had a trainer a couple of times, and I would always be toe-to-toe with them because I was following more of a back in the day, I didn't know anything about vegan, but I was going more toward a plant-based. I didn't know about that, but I knew I just didn't want to eat any meat or cheese and milk. And we'd always be at each other's throats like, no, you got to eat this. And it's like, uh-uh. So that was always my stumbling block to really being a good trainee because I didn't want to eat that meat-driven food. So I was wondering how you dealt with that as you were coming along. And now I think I know the answer.
So, you know, I had those struggles, too, you know, with what I put in my body and how I consumed and, you know, so forth. But, you know, like now, you know, I do flounder and I do turkey that I get it from the farmer's market. And then I do lots of green leafy vegetables. I do a lot of raw. Mostly my vegetables are raw. And then I do juicing. I still do, I drink like a celery. It's a combination of like celery, Swiss chard, cucumber, garlic, ginger, sprouts. I do wheatgrass. So, you know, I incorporate, you know, the greenery for myself, for what I'm up to at this point in my life. But I eventually see myself going back to, you know, a full vegetarian lifestyle. You know, I want to be primarily raw. You know, that was the path that I was headed down. So that's something that I want to go back to at some point. But right now, you know, my goal is on, my focus is on, you know, lifting and competing. So I've been willing to compromise that some, but I'm just mindful of, I try to be mindful of where I get my meats. You know, like I don't go to the supermarket to get, you know, the turkey. I'll get that from the farmer's market. If they don't have it, then I just don't eat it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're down to our last few, about 7 minutes, 5 minutes in the show. And you had spoken about breaking generational curses. Can you talk to us about that before we run out of time, Janita?
So I feel like, you know, one of the reasons that I've been spared my life is that I have a purpose to fulfill before I check out of here. And it was told to me a long time ago, I was about 21 years old at the time, that my path was an unconventional one. And, you know, that was part of that whole me being different and feeling always like an outsider, you know, for most of my life and not really understanding why. And now I understand. you know, I feel like, you know, one of my gifts and purposes here is in the realm of, you know, healing and doing healing work. And that crosses multiple fronts. You know, it's in the world of finances, in the world of, you know, emotional healing, you know, physical healing, even in the realm of spiritual healing, you know, people finding their way. And that is something that I feel, you know, I have been tasked with because I've run from it for a long time, not wanting to be responsible for any of that or not knowing what it was going to look like and being uncertain and, you know, not wanting to be judged. And, you know, so I would just run. And I'm not running anymore, right? So, you know, I want to be the, I feel like my dad passed away the night before his funeral. He gave me a download. And it's just like you and I here talking. And, you know, one of them is around, you know, like being the catalyst for change around, you know, like I call it prosperity in the family, you know, and creating generational wealth in the family, you know, for my nieces and nephews and their kids. So that is, you know, a big conversation that is real present for me right now. You know, I'm actually working on that with a couple of my nieces and nephews, great nieces and nephews, doing that with them right now around, you know, their financial future.
Awesome.
And having them understand the power of money.
Mm-hmm.
This is one example.
That's awesome.
And in the healing realm, you know, around, you know, wellness, you know, like I said, I just, you know, got paid for my, you know, coursework to get my certification as a personal trainer, yoga instructor. I've been saying that since I started practicing yoga in my 20s. You know, I always said I saw myself being a yoga instructor by the time I was 50. And so, you know, that's on my list of pursuits that I plan to, you know, pursue my certification as an instructor next year, in 2021. You know, so, you know, that's what I mean by that. You know, starting with my family, starting with myself, you know, continuing to do the work on myself and then transfer that to others, you know, those who are in my life. And, you know, try to be a beacon of light for people to be inspired to take the steps to make whatever necessary changes they need to make in their lives.
That's awesome.
I like that. Crushing the generational curses by leaving a positive family legacy. Love it, love it, love it.
Yeah,
Star, you got any closing?
Well, you know, I never know who's going to come on the show. I don't know anything about you or anything like that. And I mean you in the everybody you. But there was another piece that I pulled this morning, and it was I Love Being Me. And it spoke about just what you talked about, you know, not wanting to be criticized and wanting people to just love you and allow you to grow and be who you were supposed to be. And it was out of a Louise Hay book. So I just give all power to my divine guides and inspiration, because it really talks through the books that tell us about who our special guests are. And I wish that I'd have had that in front of me so I could have read it so that you could validate it. You,
I was hoping you had it. Well, just know.
So much. And I hope to follow you one day. Are you on Facebook?
I am. I'm on Facebook. I'm under Janita Green. I'm on Instagram under Natural Wonder 91.
Okay. Okay. Well, I've got my eye on you, young lady, and I will be following you.
Awesome sauce.
And thank you so much for sharing your amazing life and your amazing mind and your amazing dedication to fulfilling your sacred contract here on earth.
Sacred contract. You're welcome. Thank you very much.
And
all the best to both of you.
Oh, thank you. And to you as well, my darling. So thank you again. you, thank you.
You're welcome. Take care.
She's awesome.
Yes, you are.